Well, last year during Advent, because some of the Advent scripture is a little intense, I wanted to lighten the mood by reading children's books. I enjoyed that, so we're doing that again this year. And we are going to start with A Christmas for Bear, written by Bonnie Becker, illustrated by Katie McDonald Denson. And these will be listed in your program, so if you feel the need to purchase them, you'll know what they are. Bear had never had a real Christmas. He'd never had a tree with a sparkling star, or candy canes, or even gingerbread bears. But he'd read all about it. Clearly, the most important thing was pickles. One frosty night, Bear heard a tap, tap, tapping on his front door. When he opened the door, there was Mouse, small and gray and bright-eyed. "Merry Christmas," cried Mouse. "Maybe," said Bear. Bear had agreed to have a Christmas party. He'd never had one before. "Do we open the presents first?" Mouse asked eagerly. "Presents?" Bear shook his head, most unseemly. "What?" Mouse's eyes opened wide. "No presents? We shall sit around the tree and eat. I might even read a poem." "Surely that will do," Bear declared. Then Bear went to the kitchen to get the Christmas pickles. But when he came back, no Mouse. "Mouse, where are you?" Mouse didn't answer. Bear heard a tiny scurrying sound. It was coming from upstairs. Bear climbed the stairs to his bedroom. The scurry sound was under his bed. "Mouse?" "Yes," came a muffled voice. "Are you looking for a present?" Mouse peeped out from under the bed. He had a bit of dust on his nose. "Perhaps," said Mouse. "Unnecessary hogwash," Bear scolded. "We have pickles, remember?" "Oh," said Mouse. And Mouse trudged behind Bear back to the living room. Bear went to the kitchen to get the cheese. But when he got back to the living room, no Mouse. "Mouse, you're looking for a present again, aren't you?" "Maybe," came a tiny voice. It was out in the hall. Bear opened the closet door. There was Mouse, small and gray and guilty-eyed. "Not even one tiny present," squeaked Mouse. "The pickles are from France," declared Bear. "But surely," said Mouse. "And furthermore," continued Bear, "I shall be reading a long and difficult poem." Then Bear headed back to the kitchen to get the cookies, but before he got there, he quietly turned and tiptoed back to the living room. No Mouse, of course. "Mouse!" Mouse scampered out from behind the tree, tinsel dangling from one ear. "Pickles and poems," bellowed Bear. "That is the Christmas spirit." "Yes, Bear," sighed Mouse. Mouse sat in front of the crackling fire. Bear served them pickles and cheese and cookies and tea smelling of cinnamon and oranges. Bear nibbled and sipped. Mouse did too, but his tail was sad. Bear cleared his throat. Mouse looked up. "'Twas the night before Christmas," Bear pronounced, "went all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse." Bear stared sternly at Mouse. "The pickles are wonderful," whispered Mouse. Bear continued, "The stockings were hung by the chimney with care." Bear paused and glanced over at Mouse. Mouse took a mournful bite of his pickle. "The stockings were hung by the chimney with care," Bear repeated loudly. the stockings. Mouse leapt up, his eyes as bright as Christmas candles. You do have a present for me, he cried, pointing at the mantle. You have stockings. Certainly not. Impossible. Monstrous assumption, rumbled Bear. But he was smiling. Mouse scrambled into his stocking and popped back out with a package wrapped in sparkling red paper. Bear looked on eagerly as Mouse tore off the wrapping. It is the best present ever, Bear announced proudly, even if it's not a pickle. Inside was a shiny silver telescope. Bear hurried Mouse out into the crisp winter night. Mouse pointed the telescope toward the glowing moon. Most wonderful, Mouse said softly. Thank you, Bear. Yes, indeed, Bear smiled, then looked at Mouse. Well, what? Mouse was busy studying the stars with his new telescope. Mouse, you didn't forget, did you? Bear looked most stricken. Pickles and poems, said Mouse. Then he turned the telescope toward a nearby fir tree. And presents! There, peeking out from the snowy branches, was a big red bow. Bear hurried over and pulled out a wooden sled with shiny red runners. I've always wanted a sled with shiny red runners, said Bear. Thank you, Mouse. You are... Bear swallowed. You are an excellent companion. Someone of whom I am most fond. You are my best friend, too, said Mouse, with a happy flick of his whiskers. Merry Christmas, Bear. Merry Christmas, Mouse, cried Bear. Then Mouse and Bear jumped on the sled and swooped down the hill under the shining stars of Christmas. The end. Aw, cute. It's Advent, a time of arrival.
I think we need to get this back first.
It is. It's good to have a small church. It's easy to get things here and there. So it's Advent, a time of arrival, which also means a time of waiting. Now, it's not only about remembering the birth of Jesus, but to anticipate the fullness of the kingdom's inbreaking. So today our theme is hope. It's not really about hoping for presents, although in our story, we see that the hope Mouse had, that assuredness that something good was waiting for him, could be analogous to how we hope. We hope in an active way, seeking out, not just waiting, but seeking out what we want to find. And what we seek, we find. So during Advent, we're reminded that watching and waiting is an act of hope. Now, we all know people who watch and wait for disasters, they don't live with a perspective of hope. But remember our scripture 2 weeks ago. We had Jesus telling his disciples, there's going to be people out there that say, hey, look, here's the Messiah. Hey, look, the end is near. And he told them not to follow those people. It can seem really strange to start this season where we're thinking of Christmas to think also about the fancy word is eschatology. The end times. And I think end times is a really loaded word because in the last 100 to 200 years, many churches have added a lot of expectations on that don't necessarily match scripture. We have people expecting Jesus to come back and they'll say, woe to all who don't believe or who aren't ready. They imagine Jesus coming back and just cleaning house, so to speak, of all the people and negative things. And I haven't quite figured out why they think Jesus is going to have a massive character shift. Jesus came to save the world, not to condemn it. But anyway, Advent is a liturgical time of year when we consider what the end might look like. What will it look like when God's kingdom is fully developed, fully present? And we also remember Jesus' birth. So we know that we're already living in the season of God's presence among us, but we're also not at the end yet. We're kind of in between. And Advent invites us to watch. Now, the themes of Advent have been made up by the people. Different churches will use different themes. You'll hear some that use the word prophecy. But we always have hope, peace, joy, and love. And today we begin with hope. But I'll warn you, the scripture is apocalyptic, so it might not sound super hopeful. And we're beginning a new lectionary year. Happy New Year. So our gospel of the year is Matthew. And we're going to start toward the end with Matthew 24. Now Jesus in Matthew 24 has been speaking about the destruction of the temple. Now remember, the temple was where God dwelled. So if you believe that God's place on earth was in the middle, that sacred place in the temple, and then you hear that temple is going to be destroyed, that's about as apocalyptic as it can get. God's dwelling place is going to be destroyed. Apocalypse means revealing. Jesus has been revealing all along that God's presence is already here. God's presence is in us, around us. And in his death and resurrection, he sent the Spirit to be in his people in a new way. So the destruction of the temple then may serve to reveal that God is in us, not in a building. But his disciples don't understand all that yet. So when they hear Jesus say the temple is going to be destroyed, they say, when? What will the signs be? Tell us. So this passage is pretty similar to the one from Luke we read just 2 weeks ago. He says there will be signs, and he lists all sorts of horrible things. Wars, earthquakes, famine. But these are the things that have been going on forever. In every generation, these things occur. So it's not super helpful. How will we know? In this passage, you're going to hear Jesus say, even I don't know. So just be about living this life and always be prepared for God's kingdom to show up. David is going to read now from Matthew 24, 36 through 44.
But nobody knows when that day or hour will come, not heavenly angel, and not the Son. Only the Father knows, as it was in the time of Noah, so will be at the coming of the kingdom of God. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. They didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. The coming of the human one will be like that. At that time, there will be two men in the field, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, stay alert. You don't know what the day the Lord is coming. But you understand, and if the head of the house knew what time the thief would come, he would keep alert and wouldn't allow the thief to break into his house. Therefore, you always should be prepared, because the human one will come in time to be done. The word of God is the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Well, Merry Christmas. or not. Happy Advent. Our Catholic friends in particular speak of Advent as a time to celebrate the coming of Christ in history, mystery, and majesty. That has been very helpful for me. We remember the historical birth of Jesus, the mysterious presence of the living Christ here with us today, particularly in the communion sacrament. And we wait and watch with hope for the future majesty of the return of Christ and full completion of God's kingdom. Advent invites us into this waiting in the in-between time, between what has already come, what is yet to be, but also to recognize what is in us now. Spending our time trying to figure out when the future revelation will be is a waste of time. I mean, if Jesus doesn't know, maybe we don't need to know. Instead, we need to live with Christ breaking in now. There's a website called Catholic Philly, and they say during Advent, we can reflect more deeply on the continual revealing of Christ's presence to us through his word and sacrament, and that he is with us whenever two or three are gathered through mystery. I've long appreciated this perspective that the second coming of Christ is continuous and ongoing. We watch and wait, but it's not for a specific event, but rather to see where the kingdom of God pops up in all the places and people around us. Jesus preached that the kingdom of God is here, among us, in us. And the presence of the living Christ is breaking forth. Goodness is being pulled out of creation all the time. I think Jesus' reflection on the time of Noah was to point out that even as we go about our daily business, God will show up. I wonder how Christ has revealed himself to you this week. I wonder in what ways you might have seen God's love at work in the world, even during the mundane tasks of living, or even during the horrible events of war and all the other chaos that's been happening. Could it be that if we were watching with expectation of seeing God's love at work, that we might see more of it? Or maybe is it just learning to label goodness as the presence of God? Sometimes I think when we're asked the question of how did God show up for you this week, or another way we speak of it here is what are some joys you've had this week? I feel like we feel this expectation to list really big stuff, a conversion, an aha moment, a healing, a birth. But if Jesus is referencing people living life as usual, getting married, working at the mill, eating, drinking, day-to-day stuff, then perhaps he's saying that's when God will also be revealed to us. We don't have to go on a pilgrimage or feel like we've had an awakening. Maybe we just wake up. Isn't that miraculous? Don't we wake up? That our body of ours does all of this work to keep us alive while we sleep and then wakes us up and we have another day. That's God showing up. Maybe we see Christ revealed in how the checker at the store treats a confused or trying customer. Or maybe we see God in the beauty of the plants, or perhaps we feel alive when we've spent some time with someone we love, and we could see that feeling of aliveness as the presence of Jesus, which was promised. And of course, Christ is revealed when we do the work of Jesus in the world, to offer kindness, to offer love, to offer food or clothes to someone in need, to work for justice, to care for the vulnerable. We can miss a whole lot of those opportunities to see Christ breaking into the world and to be Christ for the world if we're obsessed with watching every little thing that goes wrong and trying to determine, is it the end now? Are we living in the end? Is the end coming? Instead, now is when God breaks into our lives. The question is, do we see it? Are we watching for it? The hope of Advent isn't only about our hope of one day God's kingdom will come, but the hope that we are living in the midst of God's presence now, that God lives through us now, that in all our days, good and bad, God is present to us in the love of Christ. When we decide to look for that gift, and if we're persistent, like the mouse was looking for his gift, we'll find it. We'll find his love is everywhere. That love is our salvation. So watch and wait, not for the end times, but for God's love breaking in all around us. Even as we do our work, our mundane tasks of living. So happy first Sunday of Advent. Amen.